Look today at Genesis. Our Bible study this morning will start in Genesis chapter 41, if you want to turn over there with me. This podium needs to be about 3 inches wider to hold everything I've got up here. Genesis chapter 41, let's read verses 1 through 13 together. We are looking at the life of Joseph in the Bible. We'll share a little bit of background on that before we press through the message this morning. But let's begin here in Genesis chapter 1, where we left Joseph last week in prison in Egypt. And it says in Genesis 41, "Now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows, and Pharaoh woke. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk. Then behold, 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. And then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now in the morning, his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told him his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, 'I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of our own dream. Now the Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, but he hanged the baker.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we continue this study through your most precious word, we thank you today for the Holy Spirit, who will open the eyes of our understanding and enlighten us to truth that will transform our hearts and therefore our lives. Holy Spirit, come and speak as the teacher of the church today, and build up the body of Christ for the glory of Jesus. Help us to have ears to hear, Lord, what the Spirit would say to the church, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue. This is about our 4th week now on the life of Joseph and our journey through Genesis and the study of his life. If you haven't been able to hear these things, by the way, these messages are available online. If you go to our website, you can find them there if you missed any of them. So today is our 4th Sunday, and we're journeying through the life. This is the Joseph of the Bible that we learned about when we were children in Sunday school. He of the many-colored coat. He who was the favorite of his father, the 11th son, I guess he had 10 older brothers, the 11th son of Israel. And we're learning life lessons from his life. We're learning about faith, and we're learning about God's faithfulness, how God is able to take the threads of our lives and to weave them together and to create something beautiful out of something that often is quite a mess. How many of you would admit today that sometimes our life gets a little bit messy? And we make some messes by the decisions that we make, don't we? And yet God is able to take all of those things and make something beautiful out of it. All of our hurt, all of our pain, whatever struggles we've been through in the past, whatever rejection we may have suffered, whatever abuse, afflictions, whatever it might be, our sins and our failures, God is able to take it all and to work it all together for good. And so you and I should take heart that God knows everything. And God sees everything, and God is working for all of us to work His will into our lives. God, do you understand that, you know, a lot of times we get taken by surprise in life. Things happen to us and we think, oh my gosh, what happened? Where did that come from? How did that happen? All these things. Why? And all of these kinds of things. Do you understand today that there isn't anything in all of human history for billions of people now on the planet, there isn't anything that has taken God by surprise? Not a single thing. Never once in all of human history has God the Father looked at God the Son and said, wow, I didn't see that coming. Never happened. Never happened. He knows everything. Everything about the past, everything about the future. God knows everything. And listen, brother and sister, He hasn't forgotten about us. He hadn't. Sometimes we feel like we've been forgotten in the world. Joseph maybe feels like he was forgotten in this chapter here. He had interpreted dreams a couple of years earlier for the cupbearer and the baker. Remember when the cupbearer went out and he was going to be restored to his position, and Joseph says, "Now when you get before Pharaoh, don't forget about me. Tell Pharaoh what I've done here for you, and tell him that I'm here and I shouldn't be in prison. I didn't do anything wrong." Well, the cupbearer gets out and he goes back to work and forgets all about Joseph. And so he's been forgotten by the one person, at least outwardly, that appears, that could have helped him out of the situation. But he hadn't been forgotten by God. And that's what you and I need to remember. Guys, listen. You may be in a situation where you think everybody's just forgot about you. Nobody calls. Nobody comes to see you. Nobody checks in on you. You think everybody's forgotten. You're hurting. You need help. And nobody's there. Listen, human beings are that way. Forgive them. All right? But God never forgets about us. God is always there. And what we're going to learn today is even when we don't see, God is working in ways that we don't understand to bring about His perfect will in our life. God never forgets about us. He didn't forget about Joseph. He won't forget about you and me either. God's there. God was there for Joseph. A pessimist might look at Joseph's life and say, where was God? Where was God when that happened? We hear that a lot in our society today, don't we? When tragedies happen, when things happen and we don't understand why, and people will say, well, where was God in all of that? Where was God in Joseph's life? I mean, he was beaten up by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused by a woman of attempted rape. He spent years and years in jail. He's forgotten by the cupbearer who could get him out. Where was God in all of this? And I just want to tell you today, God was right there with Joseph every step of the way. And if you and I just take another look at it, you know, sometimes we see things from a pessimistic viewpoint. We always see the negative. But if we would look from the positive side, I believe we can see the hand of God even before He delivers Joseph from the prison. Yeah, his brothers roughed him up. His brothers actually wanted to kill him. But God providentially moved on the heart of his oldest brother to spare his life and save Joseph from death. Okay? Yes, he was sold into slavery. But God just providentially ordained it that he would be purchased by Potiphar, who was a man who treated him decently. And when Joseph showed his integrity, Potiphar promoted him into his house and made him ruler over everything in his house. Yeah, he's a slave, but listen, he had it pretty good. Okay? And yeah, he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of attempted rape. But listen, the typical sentence for that would have been death. Potiphar didn't seek death. God again providentially intervenes in Joseph's life and spares him. And now he's in prison and he's forgotten by the cupbearer. Yeah, he's forgotten by the cupbearer. But listen, God has orchestrated all of this. He's put all of these pieces together providentially. He has set the stage to bring Joseph to where he needs to be when he needs to be there. The cupbearer is actually going to be instrumental in the plan of God to deliver Joseph and bring him to a place of authority and rulership in his life. He was right there with Joseph in prison the whole time. Yeah, but he had to stay in prison for all those years. Why did he have to stay all those years? The waiting game is one of the hardest things for us to figure out, isn't it? We call it the timing of the Lord, and no doubt that's a great deal of it. But we need to recognize that while we look at things and we don't see anything happening, We need to understand that God is working in ways that we don't see or understand. And God works in a realm and in a place where we can't see anyway. And God is doing what God does to work all things together for our good and for His glory. Things are happening even during the waiting time as God brings all the pieces together and puts everything in place to accomplish His purpose in Joseph's life. But not only is God preparing the way for Joseph, hear this, God is preparing Joseph for the way. He's preparing Joseph so that Joe's heart is right when it's time for him to come out and take the throne and be an authority. Listen, if he had been given the authority immediately, he may have come out in immaturity and done something foolish. I'll share more about that in just a little while. But Joseph's heart had to be prepared so that when the time came for him to be on the throne and to rule and to do what he needed to do, his heart would be ready so he could do that and do it right, do it wisely, and do it in the love and in the will of God. See? So God is working. And I realize, you know, we don't like to wait for anything. That's just our society. That's our time. That's who we are in the 21st century. Everything's instant this and instant that. And if it takes more than 3 seconds, it's not worth waiting for. Well, God sees things from a whole different perspective. See, God has a whole different way of dealing with things in our life. God is working in Joseph. Maybe He's working in Joseph to remove some pride. Maybe He's bringing him to a place of humility and trust and surrender and maturity so that when he comes out, he'll be ready to serve the Lord with a proper heart. You and I have to learn to trust the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. And sometimes that's part of the waiting process. We need to learn to put it all in God's hands. Say, God, this is yours. This is your deal. You have your way. And you do what you need to do in my life. Sometimes we need to wait in order to die to things like independence, self-sufficiency, I can handle it mentality. Sometimes we need to die to stubbornness, hard-headedness. Those things that we count as cute in people, do you know those things are sin in the eyes of God? That stubborn old man, well, that hard-headed old woman, and we talk about it in a cute kind of way, those things are sin in the eyes of God. See? And we need to be broken so that we can be completely surrendered and submitted to the Lord. And so surely timing has something to do with what God's doing, because God's working not just in our lives. Here's the truth. Catch this one. We wonder why it's taking God so long to get our life, to get everything orchestrated for our life. Let me tell you something. Brother and sister, life is not all about you. God's working on a billion or so of us right now to work things out, and He's got to put a lot of pieces together, and sometimes that takes a little more time than we're willing to wait. But it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about everybody. Do you understand that even in this story, God loves Pharaoh? God loves the Egyptians, pagan worshipers though they may be. God still loves them. And God actually wants to reveal Himself to Pharaoh. I'm convinced that's why He speaks to Pharaoh in dreams. Pharaoh's culture is built on dreams and interpretations and things like this. And God speaks to him in that fashion, I believe, to reveal Himself to Pharaoh. God loves Pharaoh. See? And sometimes it just takes a while for things and people and all these kind of things to come around before the time is right for God to move us to where we... That's why... This is a little off track. But listen, that's why the nation of Israel will stay as slaves and servants in the promised land, in Egypt for hundreds of years. When God showed Abraham that the children of Israel would stay slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years, He said it's for this reason. The people who are presently inhabiting the promised land have not yet fulfilled their time of seeking the Lord. In other words, God says, I've got to give those people that are in the promised land now a little bit longer to come to me. And so Israel can't come out of Egypt until they've had sufficient time to do what they're going to do. And once I've decided that judgment is going to come because they haven't been faithful, then I will bring Israel out. So Israel has to wait because of all of those other people. See? Think of it that way. Think of it this way. Maybe other people are having to wait because you won't get your act in order. Uh-oh, we got home that time, didn't we? Maybe somebody else is waiting on us to get things together. And God says, I'm sorry, David, but I can't do anything with you because Debbie, she won't move. That would probably be the other way around, I understand. But come on, guys, look. Patience, waiting, it builds character. And sometimes if we're enthroned before we're supposed to be, if we receive things, how many of you know, if we receive things, if things are just handed to us, we don't appreciate them. We don't appreciate them. See? And so God is preparing Joseph for what he needs to do and preparing the way so that Joseph can walk it when the time is right. Having waited all this time, God has prepared the way and God has prepared Joseph. And then look, watch this. It looks like outwardly to Joseph, just like it will look for you and me when God shows up. Joseph is just kind of minding his own business, staying faithful to the Lord, walking with God. And from the natural perspective, it looks like all of a sudden God shows up and everything changes. Well, the truth of the matter is it's not really all of a sudden. God's been planning it and working it for a long time. But outwardly, it looks like all of a sudden, things change. Well, that's fine. But here's what I want you to say. God can come that way into your life and in my life too. If we'll be faithful to the Lord, if we'll just wait, if we'll just be faithful, if we'll surrender, if we'll serve the Lord, maybe it looks like we're having to wait for a long, long time for something to materialize, something that we need, something God has promised. But if we will wait and just serve the Lord, there will come a time when it looks like just all of a sudden, God has shown up and decided to do something in my life, and now everything has turned around. Everything has changed for the better. At just the right time, when everything is ready, God gives Pharaoh two dreams. Again, speaks to him where he is. None of Pharaoh's wise men or magicians can interpret the dreams for him, and he gets upset. Then all of a sudden, after a couple of years, the cupbearer says, oh, wait, I know somebody who can interpret that dream for you. Remember a couple of years back when you suspected me of something, threw me in prison, me and the baker? Well, there was a Jewish boy in there, and we had dreams one night, and this little Jewish boy interpreted both of our dreams for us, and they came to pass just like this Hebrew boy said. And Pharaoh's response is, get him. Go get him for me. Look down to verse 14 with me. Now, again, understand, see that you're going to see this from both perspectives, okay? We're looking at Pharaoh and what's happening with Pharaoh. But realize this, Joseph doesn't know what's happening. All the things that we're about to read now, Joseph doesn't know what's going on. All he knows is he's in prison. He's being faithful to the Lord. He knows nothing about Pharaoh and Pharaoh's dreams and the guys who can't interpret and now the cupbearer's spoken up and now. None of this. My point is this. Things are happening in a place that Joseph can't see. Joseph doesn't see these things happening. But brother and sister, just because we can't see things happening doesn't mean things aren't happening. God can work in another realm completely that we don't understand or see and bring to pass what he's trying to accomplish in our lives. Look at verse 14 through verse 16. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Got new clothes. This guy's always getting new clothes. Watch. Changed his clothes. He came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. Look at what he says. Please note the humility of the heart of this man. He says, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. In other words, hey, don't look to me to be the source. Look to God to be the source. He didn't claim to be the one who could bring the ministry, who could bring the power, who could bring the miracles. He said, that's all God's business. That's God's business. Now, God may use me. God may use you. But he doesn't claim to be anybody special. He expresses his faith in God. He stays true to the Lord. Hear this. Not only has God been faithful to Joseph, but Joseph stays faithful to the Lord. Okay? See, he has his part to play. We have our part to play. If we do our part, we can rest assured God will do his part. So Pharaoh tells about the dreams, and Joseph immediately, by the Lord, Joseph immediately has an interpretation. Look down at verse 25. Pharaoh goes through the whole spiel, the verses that we didn't read here. He goes through the whole thing of all the dreams that he's had and all, everything that he saw and all that kind of stuff. And now Joseph has the interpretation by the Lord, verse 25. Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. I would call that a word of wisdom from the Lord if we wanted to classify it as a gift of the Spirit. It's a word of wisdom, a revelation by the Spirit of the Lord to Joseph about Pharaoh's dreams. He says the seven good cows are 7 years and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years and the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as spoken as I have spoken to Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance will come to the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will come. And all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine. For it will be very severe. Now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. So Joseph has the interpretation of the dreams. He says, Pharaoh, here's what's up. Here's what God is saying. The two dreams are just alike. And God gave you two of them, by the way, as confirmation that this is true, this is real, this is happening, it's going to be quick. Okay? He says the fat cows, the fat corn, that speaks of abundance. The thin cows, thin corn, that speaks of lack and famine. The seven of each speaks of 7 years. So it says, Pharaoh, here's what's happening. 7 years of abundance are coming. And that's going to be followed by 7 years of drought and famine. And God is warning you ahead of time so that something can be done about it. Okay? Isn't that good of God, by the way, to warn us ahead of time of things that are coming? The Bible says God does nothing but that he first revealed it to his servants, the prophets. And so God warns us in advance of things that are coming. And so here he warns Pharaoh and all of Egypt of the things that are coming. As I read this, it looked to me at verse 30, and we're looking at a remarkable circumstances, but as I read verse 31, and it says, so the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, for it will be severe. And I understand this is maybe not a good example of what I saw when I read it, but it says, the abundance will be forgotten because of the famine. And I thought, isn't that like human nature? No matter what God does, or how much of it he does for it, all it takes is a little bit of problem, and we forget about all that good stuff God did. And we say, why God, why? And those kinds of things. It just seems to be human nature. But of course, again, the famine is going to be extremely severe. And so God has warned Pharaoh. Now here's the fascinating thing, and let's go ahead and read it, because we've got time to do that. I wasn't going to read it, but let's go ahead and read verse 33 through 37. I wonder if God didn't chuckle when this happens. Let me explain. Watch. Verse 33, Joseph says, now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Here's what he says. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of abundance. In each of these years, he says, Pharaoh, here's what you need to do. You need to take 20% of the harvest in each of those good years and set it aside. Store it up. Guard it. Protect it. So that when the famine hits, there'll be very little to eat then, but you'll have all of this grain stored up so that the people of Egypt can eat and survive during the years of famine. Here's why I said, I wonder if God chuckled. How many times have you ever seen a courtroom where the prisoner, the jailbird, gives instruction to the judge? That's what's happening here. Pharaoh is listening to the convict and taking counsel from him as to what he ought to do. He's listening because he's seen the evidence that this is indeed a man of God. That God has spoken to me through this man. And maybe, you see, once again, we see how God has divinely set the time when Pharaoh would be ready to listen, when Joseph spoke, so that what needed to be accomplished could be accomplished. All the pieces had to be in place. Every heart had to be ready. And that's why it took the time that it did to get Joseph where he needed to be at this time. And he tells him what he needs to do, and Pharaoh agrees. He said, that sounds like a good idea. To the prisoner, he said that. Look at verse 38. Now hold on to your seat and watch what God does. This is incredible. Pharaoh says to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit, or in whom is the spirit of God, or upon whom is the anointing of God? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater to you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him in garments of fine linen, a new coat for Joseph. He put gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee. And he set him over the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or his foot in all of Egypt. Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife. Y'all see what I did there? I read through those names and pronounced them, and every one of you think I know what I'm talking about. I don't have a clue if any of these things are right. But anyway, he gives the daughter of this guy to Joseph and becomes his wife. And Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. Verse 46. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And I'll just stop right there for right now. Please note, Joseph was 17 years old when the story started. Now he's 30 years old. In just a few chapters, over a dozen years have passed. We don't know how many years in total he spent in Potiphar's house serving or in prison there waiting to get out. But we know the whole expanse of this story is some 13 years when he has been waiting. Remember that for all this time, there's been a dream in Joseph's heart given by God. One day you'll be in a position of rulership and authority, and even your family will bow down to you. For 13 years, brother and sister, it didn't look like there was any way possible for that dream to come to pass. But Joseph never quit believing. And he never let go of the dream that was in his heart. And lo and behold, here he is. He rules over Egypt. Now watch this. Watch what God did. Again, from Joseph's perspective, he's in prison. He doesn't know what's going on. He's just down there doing his best, being a man of integrity, believing in God, when all of a sudden, he's called to come before Pharaoh. He doesn't know why. He's just called to come before Pharaoh. And when he gets there, he realizes what God is doing in his life. He's using the gift that he gives to Joseph to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's going to bless him as a result. Please watch this, brother and sister. Some of you that have been waiting for things for a long, long time. Joseph has been waiting for 13 years for this dream to come to pass. It doesn't look like there's any chance of it. Day after day after day after day until all of a sudden everything is in place. God shows up. Watch this. Joseph walks into Pharaoh's house as a prisoner and walks out a few minutes later the ruler of the nation. Are you kidding me? From to the throne in a matter of moments? That's a God thing, brother and sister. That's a God thing. And that's what God can do for us if we will be faithful to the Lord. Suddenly is a word that Luke likes to use a lot in the Bible to describe God's intervention and coming into the lives of human beings. The Bible says that there were shepherds in the field watching over their flock by night. And suddenly there appeared before them an angel who brought them the good news that the Christ was born. And then suddenly the sky was filled with a multitude of the heavenly host, and they're singing praises to God and worshiping the Lord. Suddenly, all of these things begin to happen in their lives. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples are praying in the upper room when suddenly they hear the sound of a mighty and rushing wind. In Acts chapter 9, Saul is on his way to Damascus. He's persecuting Christians. He's doing what he believes is right before God. Only he's missed God along the way. And he's on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians. And the Bible says, suddenly, a light flashed around him and knocked him to the ground. By the way, did you notice I didn't say knocked him off his horse? How many of you heard that story? Did you know the Bible never says anything about Paul being on a horse? Anyway, just know. All of a sudden, the light flashes and knocks him to the ground, and God shows up, and God intervenes in his life. Peter is praying. He's been sentenced to death. Herod has killed James. He's arrested Peter. Peter's in jail. He's asleep in jail. And suddenly, the Bible said, the angel of the Lord showed up. God intervened, rescued Peter, and set him free. Suddenly, God appeared. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are praying in a Philippian jail. And they're just worshiping the Lord, minding their own business. And all of a sudden, the earth began to shake. The doors began to open up. The chains began to fall off. And they were free to go, if they so chose. All of a sudden, when it didn't look like anything else was happening, listen, God was already on the move. Take courage in that, brother and sister. Take hope in that. You may be thinking today that nothing is happening in your life. I guarantee God is up to something. You just can't see it yet. Don't quit believing. Don't let go of your faith. Keep holding on and trusting in the Lord. Suddenly may just be on its way in your life. The Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, that he can turn it whatsoever way he will. God is working in Pharaoh's life to bring Joseph to where God wants Joseph to be. Pharaoh appoints Joseph as ruler in Egypt. He gives him a ring that represents authority. He puts fine linen and gold on him that represents royalty. He puts him in his chariot and parades him through the nation. And the people bow down before Joseph as he goes out, God fulfilling his plan and his dream for Joseph's life. Now listen. I think about Peter. We had a suddenly. I'll share a suddenly with you at our church, and I've shared this story many times about how this church happened to come to have this 30-acre tract of land that we sit on here, and how God brought it into our life. By the way, I saw a realtor just the other day and talked to him, and he's the one who dealt with us when we bought the land a dozen, 15 years ago, however long it's been, maybe longer than that by now. And he was just marveling at how we got this land. He had it on the market for years for like $250,000. And the end of the story is that we bought this 30-acre tract of land for essentially $60,000. And to this day, the realtor is still just in awe of what God did in order to provide this tract of land for us. But God prepared this tract of land for us, and just not to tell the whole story, try to save a little time. God was preparing for us to have this land as far back as the 1960s. We know that far back. And when Jim worked in Richmond, Virginia, and sold cars for his uncle and worked next door to a jewelry store, the owner of that jewelry store, without Jim ever knowing it, was the guy who owned this land. We're talking about 1960s, before we ever knew Jim, before we ever came to Lynchburg. And Jim went back in the 90s to see his brother in Richmond, and went to a jewelry store where the same store was in a shopping center now, and he recognized the name of the store, and he went in to meet the owner. The older gentleman that owned the store had passed away. His son was now running the store, and Jim gets to talking with this guy, and the guy finds out they're both Christians, and they begin to talk about the Lord, and Jim tells him where he's from. And the owner of the store said, "Well, you know, I've got some land in Lynchburg that we'd like to sell to help a church." And Jim says, "Well, I know a church that needs some land in Lynchburg." This was in the 60s that God was planning this, and it didn't happen until the 90s. In the late 80s, we started this church. We immediately began to look for land. We looked for land high and low. We did our due diligence. We did everything we thought we ought to be doing. We did what we did in the integrity of our heart. We sought land. We tried to do our best and do our part. And it was frustrating to wait for year after year after year and nothing happened until we eventually bought 3 acres of land over on Wigington Road, and we're getting ready to build over there. And then just as we're getting ready to do something, all of a sudden, see, it looks like a suddenly from our perspective. God's been working on it for 30 years. But from our perspective, it looked like a suddenly. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from Jim, and Jim says, "I think God may be doing something. That land that we've been looking at, I know who owns it, and he wants to sell it." And God worked it all out so that we could buy these 30 acres of land for $60,000. The land was on the market for $250,000. See, all of a sudden. It was like, I think about Peter. The story of Peter, when that suddenly happened in Peter's life, and the angel shows up and wakes him up, and the great escape. The Bible says that when Peter was awoken by the angel and led out of the prison, Peter thought it was a dream. I don't know, maybe he thought this is just too good to be true, you know. And it's a dream. When Jim called me that day, and I remember thinking, this is a dream. This is too good to be true. I had walked this land in the early 90s. Around 1990, probably, and had seen the land, knew it was for sale. And when I found out the asking price, I thought, God, this is, you know, might as well be $1 billion. There's no way in the world I can come up with $250,000, our little church. And we just kind of set it aside. But God knew what God wanted. And as long as we stayed faithful and sought His will, God made the way. He had been preparing it for a long time. But to us, it looked like, all of a sudden, God was doing something. I tell you all of that, guys, just to tell you. God knows where you are today. God knows what you're going through. He knows what your needs are. He knows how to get you where He needs you to be. And God has been working, I guarantee, He's been working for a long time to prepare the way for you. For a lot of us, He's been working a long time to prepare us for the way. But He's been working a long time to prepare the way for all of us. Now watch. I made this point earlier. Suppose Joseph had been given the throne too early, before he was mature enough to handle what he had been given. Consider this. Joseph was in jail because a woman falsely accused him of attempted rape. Suppose he wasn't ready to come out of prison with a right heart where that was concerned. Are you kidding me? The first trip through Egypt, Joseph says, take me to Potiphar's house. I've got a woman I need to deal with. He didn't do that, did he? He's the ruler of Egypt now. He could have had that woman's life for what she did to him. He didn't do it. See the heart of Joseph and what God has done in the heart. He could have done this. He could have said, I want an army of 1,000 men. We're going to take a little trip to Canaan land. I've got some family I haven't seen in a while. I want to visit with them. I remember a dream when they were going to all bow down to me, and I think it's time for that dream to come to pass. And when they bow down, my feet will be the last thing they see. You just take their heads right off while they're about. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. His heart was ready. Listen, Joseph loved God. And here's the proof. Watch this. Joseph loved God. And because of that, he loved like God. He loved like God. Did you know that the proof of your love is the way that you love other people? The proof of your love to God is the way that you love other people? That's something to think about, isn't it? Let's look real quick. 50. Go down to verse 50. Let me wrap this up real quick. Let me make this point before I even move on. You see, Joseph could have been controlled by his past circumstances. Bitterness, anger, rejection, hurt, all of those things. So that when he rose to authority, he could have acted on all of that and eliminated his family and that woman and all of those kind of things. My point is this, brother and sister. Your past does not have to control your life or dictate your future. When you give it to the Lord, allow God to work forgiveness into your heart and into your life and love into your heart, your life can be completely changed. We see it right here. Look at these three verses, 50 to 52. And we'll just end here. Now before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom that woman, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph named the firstborn, watch, Manasseh, for he said, here's the meaning, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. God has brought him to the place where he can forgive and forget all that his brothers had ever done to him. God can help us forgive and forget, brother and sister. If we'll love God with all of our heart, God can help us to love people, even those that have offended us in our journey through life. God can help us forgive. And then the second son, verse 52, he named the second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of affliction. God has blessed me in the land of affliction. Do you understand, brother and sister, that even in your land of affliction today, God can bless your life? David said it this way in Psalm 23. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even in your place of affliction, in your place of suffering, in your place of pain, God is there and God can meet you there and God can bless you there if you truly have a heart for the Lord. The famine will come. The people of Egypt will come to Joseph. They'll all bow down in order to be fed. People from other nations around Egypt will also come to get food from the Egyptians and have to bow down to Joseph to do so. People from all around, including 10 long-lost older brothers. We'll pick the story up right there next Sunday. Father, we bless you today for the goodness of God, even in the land of affliction, a land of suffering, the land of waiting. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes today to the fact that you work in ways that we don't see or understand. You've opened our eyes to the truth today, Father, that it's not all about us. There are other things that need to be considered along the way. Father, help us to be considerate of others along the way as well. And help us, Father, not to be the one that's holding up the blessing in somebody else's life. Help us to be so completely surrendered to You that Your will is being done in us and by us because of our surrendered heart to You. Thank You, Father, that You do love us. You have not forgotten about us. You do care about us. And even now, in ways that we don't see or recognize or even understand, You are at work. You are at work to accomplish Your purposes in our lives as Your people. And so, Father, by Your Spirit, give us strength to wait. Help us to be patient with our eyes on You as we anticipate the good things that You will do in our lives as You fulfill the dreams that You have placed in our hearts. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me as we bring our service to a close this morning and just stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment? I tell you, brother and sister, God is a good, good God. He is at work for you today. I wish I could tell you when things are going to change in your life. I can't. It's probably a good thing that I can't, because you'd look to me instead of God. But I promise you, if you wait upon the Lord, God will renew your strength. You'll mount up with eagle's wings. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. And in His time, God will bring to pass everything that He's promised to you. Keep waiting on the Lord. Keep believing. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Just because you can't see something happening doesn't mean things aren't happening. God is at work. And suddenly, you're going to see the fruit of what God has been up to in your life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Bless You, Father. Why don't you take just a few moments as we bring things to a close this morning? Why don't you just take a few moments to just resubmit yourself to the Lord, talk to the Lord about those issues in your life, the things maybe you're waiting on. And why don't you just tell the Lord, you know, God, I do trust You. I do believe that You're going to fulfill these things in my life. And Lord, I just ask You to strengthen me to help me wait. Look to the Lord, church. Look to the Lord. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't try to make it happen yourself. Just look to the Lord. Thank You, Father. Diana, it's so good to see you in church this morning. Most of you know that we've been praying for Diana, and she was in the hospital this week or earlier with possible pneumonia. They began to treat that right away, and we are grateful that she is recovered and strong enough to be with us in church this morning. We praise the Lord for that. Father, we just ask You now in Jesus' name to finish the work You've started in her. And Lord, we believe that nothing is impossible for You. Even things that she maybe has suffered for a long time, God, we know that You can even heal those things in her life. We ask You to be gracious to Diana, and Your will be done there, Father. We trust You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for my mom today, and I pray for healing for the infection in her leg, and I ask You, Lord, to strengthen her once again and restore her health to her. And I thank You for bringing about a quick result in answer to this prayer in Jesus' name. Lord, bless mom and heal her for Your glory, I pray. Lord, Your Word says that in Your presence is fullness of joy. And I pray for my sister Karen today for a special manifestation of Your presence in her life. Just fill her heart with joy today, Lord. May she know You today in a special way and just enjoy Your presence and have that peace that passes all understanding today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Bless You, Father. Father, I pray too for our church family members that are already away and out on vacation in this vacation season, Lord, and for them and for all of our church as we have our turns over the coming weeks and months to get away and have a time of refreshing. I pray, Father, that we would travel safely, that we would live wisely, that we would make choices, Father, that would glorify You in all that we do, wherever we are. And then, Lord, that You would bring each of us back home safely to our church family to work together for the glory of Jesus and in this community and to help support the outreach ministries that we support around the world. Thank You, Father, for all that You're accomplishing through Victory Christian Fellowship and all that call Victory their home. Father, I thank You for the message today, for the Word of God that has challenged our hearts once again to keep on believing in You. Father, I pray that we can take it to heart. And during the course of the week that comes, Father, if there are things that come up in our lives, and God, we wonder why, and we begin to question, may we remember what You've spoken to our heart here this morning. And may we return to faith in You. Lord, I commit this church family into Your hands. I give them to You, Father, that Your will might be done in them, these earthen vessels, even as it's done in heaven, to the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. And now go with us as we leave this place today, Father. May our light shine brightly, that Jesus may be seen through us. We thank You for it in His name. Amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed this morning. In Your presence, there is peace. In Your presence, in Your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in Your presence day by day, till Your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord. Hope to see you next week as well.